That's Queen from Day at the Races, Somebody to Love. Yep. Going back to the basement. All right. These guys are like AWOL. I don't know. And I don't even know if they ever really existed. But there's this one song that they sent me, Miles Berger. And the song's called Garden Heads. And they sent me this some years ago. But I just love this song. So it goes like this. I'm just glad that it's still out there. Here we go.
Yeah. go strolling through the crowd like Pete DeLauro contemplating a crime. She comes out of the sun in a silk dress, running like a watercolor in the rain. Don't bother asking for explanation, she'll just tell you that she came in the ear of the cat. Give you time for questions as she locks up your arms and hers, and you follow till your sense of which direction completely disappears. By the blue tile walls near the market stalls, there's a hidden door she leads you to. These days, she says, I feel my life just like a river running through the year of the cat. While she looks at you so coolly, and her eyes shine like the moon in the sea, she comes in incense and patchouli. So you take her to find what's waiting inside the ear of the cat. sky. If I interrupt, tell me, I'm so scared. Your little head will come off in my
Yeah! wondering, should I inject bleach into my eyeballs with a needle? Well, that's an excellent question. I'm so glad you asked. Paid for by the committee to stop injecting bleach into the eyeballs with needles.
The Ministry of Lava manages our national lava resources to ensure that we will always have a steady supply of lava to operate the nation's active volcanoes, which in turn power our cities and methamphetamine labs. As a matter of national security, we need to reduce our dependence on foreign lava, which means an expansion of domestic lava drilling. As your chancellor, I will build lava wells all over the country, as well as secure access to more lava fields by invading Hawaii. Imagine orange gold spurting out from school playgrounds on the Great Plains and illuminating the Nebraska sky like fireworks on the 4th of July. Magma oozing over the rolling hills of Kentucky. Volcanic ash settling gently.
Business continues below.
Did I ever tell you the story about the
cowboys
and midgets
and the Indians
and what frontier supplier?
I felt strangely hypnotized.
I was in another world.
A world of 20,000 girls.
And rectangles.
Doing optometrists.
A man with a golden eyeball.
And tiny robotics.
Or juice on your chin.
I promised my girlfriend I could play
the violin.
The
How's it going, Trina?
Hey, Ed. How are you doing this afternoon?
Doing all right.
Woo! Awesome. I am so happy to be here. It's a beautiful day. This is my favorite thing to do every week. And I'm super excited about the topic today because after our Immutables podcast last Sunday, and welcome everybody to the Immutables. I'm Trina Roderick, and I'm here with Ed Ant, who's running the board, the ones and twos.
Hello.
I thought Pam just called it the board, the ones and twos.
Okay, here's the thing about every time that she calls it the ones and twos.
What?
The ones and twos are actually those right there. And I'm pointing to the record players.
Well, I figured it had some sort of random reference, but I was listening to a song the other day. I don't remember what song it was. And it wasn't a lyric. It might have been either a lyric or, you know how sometimes they kind of chatter before this. I think it was a lyric. Somebody blah, blah, blah on the ones and twos. And I was like, oh, Pam knows what she's talking about.
Yeah, except, like I said, the ones and twos are the LP players.
Well, I mean, I'm not too surprised that it's like a term from back when DJs were less technologically gifted.
Technically, they were more technologically gifted because here literally uses the ones and twos. No one.
Well, Pam, it's just the turntables.
Yeah. It's just the turntables. That's the ones and twos.
Because nobody has the albums anymore. I had a hard enough
right over
time.
There.
Well, that's true. I had a hard enough time scrapping, putting together a CD. I couldn't. I'm actually kind of sad. Like, the first time I put together an iTunes library was when. Anyway, now we are way off the subject. So we're here today. I want to talk again about the duck face selfie photo because I got into
again
it with
bad selfies.
Well, you know, the more I think about it, the more that photo is the perfect instigator for this conversation. And the photograph is perfect in just so many ways.
Remind me again what this conversation that we have yet to have is.
Well, okay. So like I said, I got into it with Steven Torres, and I want to talk about the conversation in several different respects. And first I want to start out, because it sort of devolved into us not quite hating each other. I wouldn't say hate, but it got, as conversations online.
You're not going to make babies with him? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, I mean, it was never that. It was just that people have a tendency to get real ugly really, really fast. I mean, that's just the way we communicate. Well, I shouldn't say that's just the way we communicate. That's a function of communicating with people that you never think you're going to see again, and you don't really have enough contact with them for these sort of slight social snubs to make a difference. So when I was an attorney, for example, I noticed that when I worked in dependency, which was a job that was regular courtroom work, assigned to a regular courtroom with the same judge and the same other attorneys in the courtroom, the same DA every day, there was considerably more kindness and respect. I mean, we still argued. We still held our positions and held our ground and represented our clients. I mean, just because we were kind to each other off the record doesn't mean that we went on the record and,
were friendly.
That didn't impact our job in any way. In fact, it made it, easier and more pleasant, which is why you do it, just because. And the thing is, with civil litigation, is considerably different because you have one client in a case, you have like 40 clients. Like, so let's say, for example, you're a defense attorney and you're juggling 40 clients. You're maybe going to see those attorneys on the other side of those cases again. Maybe not. I mean, some of the bigger, more consistent firms you see can frequently and some you don't. And so in those situations, when you're up against an attorney and a firm you think you're never going to see again, I noticed that the attorneys tended generally to be nastier and get nastier more quickly because there's not quite the same sort of
Because there's no relationship to grab at.
Well, and there's not only no relationship to grab at, but you're never going to see each other again. So people, it's easier to get ugly. Right. Yeah. So it's hard for me not to think that that's sort of what's happening online. I mean, these are people that you don't have to see face to face. These are conversations you're not having face to face. And so it's easy to get ugly fast. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a lot easier to be detached when you don't have to be in front of somebody to tell them something. Yeah.
But it's more than just detached. I feel like it's the willingness to be, harsh in a way you might otherwise.
That's the thing. If you're detached from what you're saying, mm-hmm. you can be more malice without thinking about it. It's just how it works.
Yeah. Right.
Not that being detached is always a bad thing. It's just, it's part of it.
Yeah. It's just different. And I guess that's sort of how I think about, the way people speak to each other on the internet now. And I feel really compelled to continue to talk about the duck face selfie and hate in particular, because it's a really, really important concept to understand moving forward into the 21st century. I feel like we need to absolutely get away from the 1950s black and white thinking, whereby there was a good, good guy that dressed in white and was constant perfection. And in contrast to that, like I'm thinking of the 1950s westerns, you have the bad guy dressed in black and is constantly the bad guy. And that thinking about people is just too simplistic, given the fact that we now interact globally with each other through the internet. We need to understand people with greater complexity. And I remember, for example, like the movies started to demonstrate more complexity, and definitely. Like, I remember the first time I saw Reservoir Dogs, for example, like the Quentin Tarantino films of the early 90s. For me, that was the big impact of Reservoir Dogs, was the fact that all of a sudden we were looking at the bad guy not with animosity, but we were sort of, it was this new sort of, not necessarily sympathetic approach, but behind the scenes approach that was necessarily humanizing, because, people are people. So behind the scenes, the bad guys are going to argue amongst each other. The bad guys are going to, people are people. We only think of people as good and bad in relation to ourselves or our group or our country or our set that we are identifying with at that moment in time. But the people on the other side are people too. Right? Let's get into that. So I broke down the reasons not to hate someone just because they express some form of ism, like racism or sexism, I think we need to be, let me get into it. So there's three separate reasons. One reason is that it's the best choice for yourself as a person. Another reason relates to her as a person. And then the third category is the reasons related to the world generally and where we're going. So let's start with the preface to Pedagogy of the Oppressed, because that's my jam. I so love Pedagogy of the Oppressed. I hate the word pedagogy. It basically means teaching kind of thing. I really freaking hate that word, though. I mean, it basically knows it.
It's a pretentious word.
It's totally annoying. I really freaking hate it. But it basically just means know what to do. We don't teaching somebody what to do. So a big part of the problem with overcoming oppression is we don't know how. Like, we don't know what to do to get there. What are the steps? There's no, nobody's going to lay out a plan. We have to figure it out for ourselves. So I'm going to read from, or do, would you like to read from Pedagogy of the Oppressed?
Not particularly.
I'll read it if you want me to. It's only a couple sentences. All right. You have a much better reading voice.
As we have.
All right, so I'm just going to read the first paragraph and the first sentence in the second paragraph.
So just to right there.
I have encountered both in training courses which analyze the role of conscientiousness and actual experimentation with a true